I'm Arun Venugopal, in for Tanzina Vega. This is The Takeaway. The Trump administration's hostile attitude towards the news media escalated over the weekend, following an exchange in which Secretary of State Mike Pompeo verbally berated veteran NPR reporter Mary Louise Kelly. On Friday morning, the All Things Considered co-host interviewed Pompeo about the administration's Iran policy before pressing him on Ukraine and the treatment of former Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch.
Do you owe Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch an apology?
You know, I agreed to come on your show today to talk about Iran. That's what I intend to do. I know what our Ukraine policy has been now for the 3 years of this administration. I'm proud of the work we've done. This administration delivered the capability for the Ukrainians to defend themselves. President Obama showed up with MREs. We showed up with Javelin missiles. Previous administration did nothing to take down corruption in Ukraine. We're working hard on that. We're going to continue to do it.
I confirmed with your staff last night that I would talk about Iran and Ukraine.
Anything else to say about that this morning?
But what's most notable is what happened after the interview ended. Here's what Kelly told her All Things Considered co-host Ari Shapiro.
I was taken to the secretary's private living room where he was waiting and where he shouted at me for about the same amount of time as the interview itself had lasted. He was not happy to have been questioned about Ukraine. He asked, "Do you think Americans care about Ukraine?" He used the F word in that sentence and many others. He asked if I could find Ukraine on a map. I said yes. He called out for his aides to bring him a map of the world with no writing, no countries marked.
Huh.
I pointed to Ukraine. He put the map away. He said, people will hear about this. And then he turned and said he had things to do. And I thanked him again for his time and left.
Pompeo has since issued a statement accusing Kelly of lying to him and saying, quote, "This is another example of how unhinged the media has become in its quest to hurt President Trump and this administration." But according to NPR CEO John Lansing, Kelly has an email chain with an aide to Pompeo confirming that they would be talking about Ukraine. It's the latest example of the Trump administration demonizing members of the media and creating a narrative that doesn't seem to square with the facts. And it's where we're going to start today on The Takeaway. For more on this, we turn to Kelly McBride, Senior Vice President and Chair of the Craig Newmark Center for Ethics and Leadership at the Poynter Institute. Kelly, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Jane Kirtley, Media Ethics and Law Professor at the University of Minnesota. Jane, glad to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Kelly, how did this whole episode strike you?
Really fairly typical considering this administration's relationship with the press. I think when you look at both stories, Secretary Pompeo's and Mary Louise Kelly, it seems to be that Mary Louise Kelly's version is completely consistent and believable, and I think she just did a really good professional interview, and Pompeo was unprepared and therefore lashed out.
Jane, what do you make of this incident?
This is the latest in a long series of clashes that Secretary Pompeo has had with the press and particularly with women journalists. I don't really like to play the gender card, but it's hard to avoid the appearance here that his disrespect and use of profanity and bullying with this particular journalist are simply symptomatic of a viewpoint that I think permeates the administration. As they say, the fish rots from the head, and I think that's what's going on here.
Kelly, I was really impressed by how Mary Louise Kelly handled herself during the interview and also following Pompeo's subsequent attacks. What are the lessons for journalists from this?
Yeah, I agree. I was impressed as well. First of all, go in prepared and have neutral questions that are not argumentative in their nature. And then I think also listen to the response that you're getting and be prepared to counter that response, because what we hear so much coming out of Washington is spin. And the key thing that Mary Louise did in that interview was she listened to what Pompeo was saying and was able to call him out on his misdirection. And that, you can tell, that's where the tenor of the conversation really changed for him.
Jane, any lessons to add to that?
I would say the other interesting thing is the email trail that Mary Louise had and was able to demonstrate that, in fact, she had dealt with Secretary Pompeo's staff, had explained what the parameters of the interview were going to be, had refused to be tied down to one narrow set of questions, left the door open. He had due notice of where she was going to go with this, and his feigning of surprise, I think, is completely artificial.
Is the fact that she actually did recount to Ari Shapiro afterward the nature of her exchange, her off-the-mic exchange with Secretary Pompeo, that seems to be striking in terms of allowing herself, if you will, to be part of the story unavoidably. Am I right, Kelly?
A little unusual, although I think completely relevant in this case. This man is fourth in line in succession to the presidency, and if his ability to react under pressure certainly has bearing on how he would do in that job. Also, I think it puts the proper context on what we heard on her recording, which is evasion and then an abrupt end to the interview. And so I think it was completely appropriate and informative to me as a citizen.
Jane, how important is it for journalists to confront this behavior?
You know, it's critical. The thing that separates mature democracies like the United States from more autocratic countries is that journalists speak truth to power. They are in some respects an adversarial relationship with the government, at least in the sense of holding the government to account and not simply acting as public relations arms. And for me, for Mary Louise to explain exactly what happened, some might call that inside baseball, but to me, it's providing the public a window with how this administration regards not just journalists, but the members of the public who rely on journalists for truthful and accurate information about what the government is up to.
Kelly, Pompeo's had a pretty rocky relationship with the press. When else have we seen him behave like this?
You know, there's been many, many instances, and I gotta just agree with Jane that his disregard for the public that Mary Louise was representing, particularly in his comment of, you know, I bet you can't even find Ukraine, implying that no sensible human being would know where Ukraine is in the universe and therefore shouldn't care about that, is, I think, just a key driver in NPR's decision-making here.
Jane, there's clearly an overt pattern on the part of the Trump administration. I would call it authoritarian. Does the U.S. news media need to be more willing to call out this behavior for what it is?
We have to do that. And I think it's really important that we not allow those who are the supporters of the president or the enemies of the press in general to suggest that it is inappropriate, wrong, disrespectful, unpatriotic. I mean, pick your adjective. It's none of these things when journalists challenge what the government is saying. Again, it's what separates us from autocracies. I mean, there's a reason that people listen to NPR. There's a reason that people listen to Russia Today, I guess, but they get two completely different versions of the world when they do that. And, you know, again, we have to be telling the public that this is what your elected and appointed officials are doing and saying, and this is why you need to care about it.
And Jane, you have experience working with the State Department as a journalist. How does its relationship with the news media today compare to previous administrations' State Departments?
I've done work with the administration, or the State Department, since the Bush administration, the first Bush administration. And although obviously there were times when the government didn't agree with the way the press was covering things, there was always a basic respect for the role for freedom of the press. And in our consulates and embassies around the world, we try to convey that message. And it seems to me that this kind of disconnect can only look like, at best, hypocrisy on our part. It's a fundamental problem in terms of promoting civil society and the democratic systems that we all want to see in place around the world.
Kelly, this controversy raises a lot of questions about how we as journalists actually do our job. Could you walk us through what off-record and on-record, how that works, especially in situations like this with government officials?
Well, in general, when a journalist is willing to go off the record, she would signal that. And she would signal it for a very specific reason. She's looking for a key piece of information that cannot be tied to an individual. In this case, there was no motivation to do that. When a source wants to go off the record, they usually indicate ahead of time, I would like to go off the record, and it's important to know that the journalist has to agree to it. There's been many cases where somebody has emailed something unsolicited to a journalist and said, this is off the record, and the journalist has no ability to consent to that. That's not how off the record works, and certainly Secretary Pompeo understands that.
And Kelly, President Trump weighed in on Twitter about this. He basically questioned the existence of NPR. Could this situation, this episode, have an impact on funding?
Well, every time NPR does critical coverage of Congress or the White House, someone threatens public media funding. NPR itself gets very little funding, although the member stations that are affiliated with NPR get a lot more funding from the government. It could, and I think most people in public media are aware that the government may interrupt their funding as a way of retribution, and I think they're prepared to live with those consequences.
Jane, everyone I know is talking about this, but of course I work in public media. Do you think people outside the media bubble actually care about this?
Well, I hope they do. I think that we have a long series of examples going back to the inauguration of the Trump administration twisting the truth, distorting the facts, and showing disrespect for journalists and for the public at large. I would hope that the mere accumulation of these things would finally start to register. But the trouble is we are living in such a fractionated kind of environment today that many people are just choosing up sides and taking the version of the truth that most comports with the way they want to see the world. All journalists can do is keep reporting on this.
Kelly, real quick, what does this whole thing, this whole ordeal mean for the American public?
Well, I mean, Jane's right. We have a polarized public, and the people who support NPR and support journalists holding the government to account, I think, are behind the journalism, and we're seeing a rise in trust among that portion of the population. People who support the administration generally have a dim view of journalists, and they probably are. Have a dimmer view as a result of this interaction. I don't think that that's going to change. It's going to exacerbate the polarization.
Kelly McBride is Senior Vice President and Chair of the Craig Newmark Center for Ethics and Leadership at the Poynter Institute. Jane Kirtley is a Media Ethics and Law Professor at the University of Minnesota. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.